This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now listen to this. Elbows off the table. It's something that most of us were told as kids, as it was considered bad table manners. I still don't do and find myself quickly removing them from the table as if they happen to end up always there. Well, there's a new thing that's come out with Gen Z have decided enough is enough and table manners are no longer required. So, is it also creeping into other parts of our life? Are manners in general no longer required?
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Hello, Con. Thanks for having me.
What would your parents say if you put your elbows on the table?
I don't think my parents would notice, but my grandmother, she died a couple of years ago. She was big on no hats in the house. So that was her big bugbear, or brushing your hair anywhere near the vicinity of the kitchen. They were things she was very, very obsessed with. Less so elbows, I must say, but definitely the hats and the hair.
So why have Gen Z decided it's no longer relevant?
Look, I think Gen Z and I would probably stretch that to millennials as well.
Yep.
There's a greater likelihood to be reading into the why of things. Why are we just doing things because we always have? And that idea of sort of, you know, I read somewhere the idea of traditions being kind of like the ghosts of the past guilt tripping us.
Yes.
And stopping to think how relevant are these things to our life now? And I think table manners particularly, they're very much rooted in Anglo-Saxon history with class connotations to them. You know, a lot of these rules around how to hold forks and which fork and which one's for the fish and all of this, these are very much associated with upper class English history, as opposed to having any relevance to lots of different ethnicities or different cultures or even just different age groups. And I think that that pausing to think, why do I care about some of this stuff, and is it making me anxious as opposed to enjoying my meal, are being reconsidered.
Now, the reason we're talking about this is because, according to a poll by UK Census Wide, some 60% of those aged 12 to 27 sort of say, hey, that's out the door. That's old-fashioned behaviour. So that's why we're still talking about it, because people are going, why are we randomly talking about table manners? It's like,
yes.
But I think there's a wider conversation to be had, because the thing that you mentioned first off is the question why is often asked by a generation that hasn't asked it in the past as often as they do. Why do we do this? Why is that reason of that, whether it's manners or otherwise? They're not willing to accept the convention and are willing to question, regardless of how basic that knowledge is, that you should be doing something. And manners is one of them, I suppose, and elbows off or not.
Yeah, look, I think this is sort of part of this critical thinking thing, which as an academic we always want people to do, certainly we want our students to do, ask questions. And I think you've sort of, whether this is I suppose it coincides with the rise of social media, where we're all asking ourselves a lot of questions very publicly, and we're seeing a lot of chatter. For example, something that I have mixed feelings about is the going back and watching old films or old TV series and spotlighting all that's wrong with them according to today's standards. I get this as an activity. I think it's often sometimes removed from, you know, historical context.
Yep.
But that idea of that activity of going and looking at everything through a magnifying glass, I think, is part of this. And manners are part of that story. And people are asking, does it matter to me? Do I want to keep going with this? And I think, forget manners aside, you know, we've been recently talking about this in regards to rituals of affection, you know, go and give your grandmother or your auntie a kiss. And those kind of things, where now there's more of a focus, is that actually good? Are we teaching kids about consent when we tell them to go and do these rituals of affection that children may not want to do and may feel, in fact, intensely uncomfortable about? And I was talking to my parents about this, because I do recall as a kid being told to go and, you know, kiss certain people or hug certain people. And my parents, they both have bad memories of being forced to do it themselves. And it's interesting that they repeated that trauma with me. And I don't have kids, but I know my brother. That's one of those things he doesn't force upon his kids. And that idea of breaking bad cycles, you're seeing younger generations more actively do.
I recall that experience too as a kid where it was insisted that I go give grandma or an aunt or an uncle a hug or some person that's come over for dinner. It's just like some random person that I probably will never see again. Give them a hug. It's just almost like, I don't really know why should I be doing this?
Yeah, and there's definitely cultural differences there. I look at my mum's family, which are Italian, and that was just the norm.
Yes.
You absolutely had to, you know, hug and kiss people that you may never see ever again, you've never met before. Dad's family, Anglo, it was still a bit, but much less common. And that's the other thing as part of this story as well, is cultural norms, be it table manners or gestures of affection, also have, you know, are very rooted in norms that might be different for, you know, depending on where you come from, not just your age.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about manners and Gen Z and how relevant they are in this day and age. Now, there's a guy that's over 250 years old that has come out and given their thoughts about these manners that Gen Z believe in. What have they said? If anything at all. Or should we just throw the guide out? It's 250 years old. It's past its use by date.
Look, I think that there is this idea that because it is 250 years old, it's past its use by date. And certainly lots of magazines, newspaper articles, etc. definitely have. I was reading in the New York Times over the weekend that they have their own etiquette column.
Yep.
And one of it was someone writing and complaining that, you know, she invited her, the woman sounded quite elderly, she'd invited her adult children over for dinner and told them pick a dinner set to take home as part of your inheritance. And the kids said they definitely didn't want them. And she was appalled and she was seeking advice on how to get help about this problem. Now, that's just one example where, again, even just the gesture of what constitutes a gift differs from the generations. But that idea of, you know, the idea that there are people in our society who are dictating manners, I think look at different areas of society where our ideas around authority have completely changed. I think COVID was a really good example where, yes, there were people who were willing to listen to scientists. Then there were other people who, why should I listen to scientists when there are people online telling me to drink, fish tank cleaner?
Yes.
And that idea of challenging authority now, look at, you know, the rise of people like Pete Evans and, you know, a celebrity chef who's giving out health advice.
Totally.
And some people are willingly taking it because not only are we questioning manners, we're even questioning expertise and authority.
That's the thing. It's being challenged. It's like, okay, we're holding it up to the light. It doesn't make sense. And why should we sort of still do so? But there are concerns that maybe there's just even some other things that we need to still keep on doing, which people start to question. It could be anything, everything from, I don't know, what you've mentioned about, I suppose, the line between manners and etiquette. When you see people, do you greet them or you just ignore that they've walked into a space because you're just too busy looking at your phone? That could be one example.
And phones, I think, is a big that came up in this study was different generations' views on the role of telephones at the table or telephones, you know, full stop, in the sense of, you know, a younger generation is more likely to do everything with their phone, including pay their bills, pay for the meal. So the idea of being away from it actually feels quite uncomfortable. They also might not be carrying anything other than that phone, whereas an older generation who isn't using Apple Pay, for example, is saying, why can't you just put that phone in your bag? Why does it have to be on the table? And that perception, again, it's generational or often generational, that the phone is some sort of a barrier to intimacy, I think is interesting. I've seen people, you know, I've been out with a friend and seen on another table people on a first date, and you can tell they're on a first date and they're both, you know, using their phone. And I think that's I'm not judging them in terms of bad manners. I am judging them of, are you going to get to know each other very well? And couldn't you have done the texting at home? It's a weird, even I felt judgy, but at the same token, I felt it boded poorly for their relationship.
I mean, we all do that deep down because I do see it too, where people are out having a meal and they'll take a pause and they all pull out their phones and just, I mean, yes, I understand sometimes you may need to sort of send a message to somebody because they're late or something's happened that you sort of need to find out.
They've got kids at home.
Yes,
or they're
totally.
I get it, but it's interesting when, you know, you watch people and it's the majority of their social interaction is supplemented by phones.
Yep.
But I saw an interview with some television producers during the week that was saying now when they commission TV shows, they don't want complicated television shows because they're assuming the audience is also needing something that they can follow while using their phone. And that is also this question of whether TV content gets dumbed down as a result because of that change in attention spans.
Oh, my gosh. That's the other thing I have seen a lot of people do where, I mean, I've sort of done it occasionally myself where I'm fact-checking something. I'm watching a program and all of a sudden it's still playing in the background. I may miss what's going on in the narrative, but I've got to sort of check if that was actually the case of what happened or not.
For me, it's always, what have I seen them in before? That person. I know I saw them in an episode in 1997 of some obscure show. I need to find out right now.
So, meanwhile, the thing is playing it forward and you're focused on where have I seen them? What was that film or program or otherwise? All right, we're rolling this on this note. Are there any manners that you think are a bit over the top that perhaps we should just get rid of? I'm just going to put it out there. I might put you on the spot.
Look, most of the rules around cutlery and stuff, I don't know them.
Same.
So, therefore, if I've not learnt them and I'm 43 years old now, I'm okay. I've survived this long without memorising a fish fork. The fact that I don't eat fish anyway, I don't understand the rules around hats in the house or hats at the table. My dad and my brother are both bald. They get cold. They live in Melbourne. They need the hat on.
Totally get that. All right. So, forget about the etiquette.
Can you think of one yourself, Con?
No, I can't actually at the moment. I sort of put the question to you, put you on the spot. But, yeah, cutlery is definitely one of them. Greeting people and that sort of embrace. It's a very sort of, depending on which part of the world you are, I get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, kissing on cheeks, you know, that's the other thing. But, I don't know. Maybe that's not
eating off someone else's plate, I think it was mentioned in this study, where someone just grabs some food off your plate. Again, cultural dependent, but also, who am I eating with? Because there's some people, if you're with family, I wouldn't mind. Yep. With a stranger or someone I've just met, I find it a sort of hastening of intimacy that I'm not sure we're ready for.
I get it, Lauren. I'm there with you. I get it. Lauren, thanks for joining me on Joy Drive, about unpacking manners, thanks. Etiquette and all things accordingly.
Thank you for having me, Con.
Pleasure. That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.